there's no kind of theological identity in Emergent. If anything, they're post-evangelical churches that have a high view of Scripture and are very much Christocentric churches and have a traditional Orthodox understanding of the dual nature of Christ. But they are not doctrinaire in that the doctrine isn't then what energizes the congregation, but it's actually the outworkings of the gospel that energize the congregation.
Well, that's from a recent conversation I had with Tony Jones. He's an Emergent church leader, one of the bright lights in the Emergent movement, writing books. A lot of them are pastors planting congregations. The term emergent or emerging is one that we're hearing an awful lot lately, not only in the church, but out in the culture as well. What is the emerging church movement? And one of its brightest lights, Brian McLaren, has tried to define it, or insofar as someone who's emergent can define himself, we'll see what those definitions, oh, how those definitions hold up to scrutiny here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Pastor John Pless will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours of Issues, Etc. Our toll-free number, live this Tuesday, the 12th of August, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Pastor John Pless, Dr. James Bachman joins us. We're going to talk about the real life of a Christian congregation. Should so many congregations say that what we should be doing is putting our finger wetted up to the wind of culture and seeing which way the wind blows and following that direction, letting the culture call the shots for the church? That's how we gain relevance, they say. Is this true? And how does the church exist in a culture that is increasingly hostile to the church's message and to Christians in particular? We'll talk about that in the second half hour. In the second hour of the program, Ed Martin joins us for a short conversation. We're going to talk about a stem cell research funding lawsuit here in Missouri on the heels of some stem cell research legislation, a vote to permit embryonic stem cell research and fund it. Well, some of the funding is flowing, or at least it's trying to flow. Scott Klusendorf will join us for Stem Cell Research 101 after that conversation, a little later on Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor John Pless is Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in the Concordia Journal Quarterly, Concordia Theological Quarterly, I should say, titled Contemporary Spirituality and the Emerging Church. John, welcome back.
Todd, great to be with you this afternoon, and congratulations on being back on the air. I'm just so pleased that Issues is back, and want to express my appreciation for the fine service that you are doing in behalf of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
John, thank you very much. The emerging church sometimes presents itself as a return to or a move toward Christian authenticity. Are we witnessing the return to authentic Christianity in the emergent / emerging church?
I think we have to look at the emerging church in its own historical context, and we might even say that that context has a kind of a broader view and then a more narrow kind of definition. I think when we look at the emerging church in the context of American Christianity, we see that the emerging church is really a part of a larger movement that goes back to the 1800s, where there was an attempt to return to an allegedly pure, undivided New Testament Christianity. That's often referred to as a restorationist movement, and it would finally produce denominations such as the Disciples of Christ. We don't want to be identified with any one denomination. We simply want to be New Testament Christians. And so in the broader perspective, I think the emerging church fits quite nicely into that stream. If we focus a little more closely at the immediate context of the emerging church, we see that it really begins to sprout in the 1990s and then on into the current to the current decade. And it seems to me that most of the early leaders, at least of the emerging church, were people who were dissatisfied on the one hand with what they perceived as a tepid denominationalism, understanding within the mainline churches that saw the church primarily in terms of an institution, often an institution governed by Enlightenment kinds of theologies of a liberal nature. That on the one side, and on the other side, I think they reacted against what they perceived to be the commercialization of Christianity and such things as church growth movement and a rigid kind of fundamentalism represented in quarters of evangelicalism as well. And so they see themselves as returning to a ancient faith that then is sometimes described as an ancient future faith, to use the words of Robert Weber. But is it a return to authentic New Testament Christianity, to creedal orthodoxy? That's another question.
You say that the emerging church is the best description, perhaps a fanciful one, is, to quote someone else, a time of fairy tales. What do you mean by that?
Well, I actually quoted Martin Luther, or at least a quote that's attributed by Adolf Kaeberle to Luther, where Luther says, "When the true God disappears, the fairy tales arrive." And I think what Luther meant by that is when the God of the first commandment, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is diminished in any way. It's not that we have irreligion or a non-religious environment, but a cultural environment that becomes populated by all kinds of myths or fairy tales or fantasies. And in that sense, I was applying Luther's quote to the contemporary context for spirituality, which by its very nature now is so eclectic and syncretistic, drawing from all kinds of different sources.
Let's talk about one of the brighter lights, or at least he puts himself forward as one of the leaders of the emerging church, although many will try and distance themselves from Brian McLaren. He has written probably more extensively and spoken more extensively and seems to have more influence with the emerging church's encroachment upon the institutional church than anyone else. He wrote a book called A Generous Orthodoxy. Could you find much orthodoxy in McLaren's landmark book?
Actually, not a lot. If you look at McLaren's book, and I think it's, again, helpful to see something of McLaren's own kind of background coming from a free church tradition, starting a community church in the greater Washington, D.C. area, serving Cedar Ridge Church as pastor for a number of years, and attempting to redefine Christianity. And he provides any number of monikers then that would allegedly describe his own position. For example, he says, "I'm a missional, evangelical, post-Protestant, liberal conservative, mystical poetic, biblical charismatic, contemplative, fundamentalist, Calvinist, Anabaptist, Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, Green, Incarnational, Depressed Yet Hopeful, Emergent, Unfinished Christian." And he then attempts to draw from these various images or titles bits and pieces of what he would see as usable truth for a contemporary Christian life and mission. I would add a couple of things, I guess, there in answering your question, Todd. First of all, there is quite a bit of diversity in the theology of the emerging church. There is no one theology of the emerging church. In fact, there are a variety of different theologies that come to the fore. But it seems to me, at least, that a common theme in the theologies of emerging churches is that ethics trumps doctrine every time. In other words, the essence of Christianity is not about believing. It is rather about doing, or it is about how we make discipleship manifest in the world. To put it in Lutheran jargon, it means that sanctification is given priority over justification.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor John Pless about the emerging church movement, trying to figure out what it is and what it isn't. Now, it seems as though if it is viewed as a reaction against classical liberal Christianity and church growth over-marketed consumerism Christianity, it may have made a good beginning, but if you define yourself solely based upon what you're not, and at the same time refuse to say what you are in any definitive terms, such as Brian McLaren is not one to tell you what he is, but what he isn't, or what he is between two poles, becomes very difficult to know exactly what someone's saying, doesn't it? Very confusing subject, the emerging church, and one would think that if it really were the emergence of the true church out of the ruins of the old and lost and defunct church, that it would be easier to understand. You shouldn't need a PhD or to be able to suspend cognitive thinking in order to go to church on Sunday morning, shouldn't you? When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation on the emerging church movement, find out exactly what it means to be halfway between an absolutist and a relativist. Does it appeal to you? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll be right back with Pastor John Pless.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple with your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Barry Krieger, Duncan Sprague, Pastor John Nordling, Roger Gallup, Pastor Troy Scoggins, Donald Hutchinson, Arthur Kasky, Marie Niedzwicki, Tracy Gutz, Hans Otten, and Christopher Atwood. Thanks for your support.
New technology, old theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Tomorrow on the program, A Christ-Centered Marriage with Pastor Peter Kurowski. And we'll talk about that deadly stampede outside the Hindu temple in India. Dr. Victor Raj will be our guest. Our subject for the next 10 minutes, the emerging church movement. Pastor John Pless is our guest. You have an interesting quote from Brian McLaren's book, A Generous Orthodoxy. He says, "This book suggests that relativists are right in their denunciation of absolutism. And absolutists are right in their denunciation of relativism, and then it suggests that they are both wrong because the answer lies beyond both absolutism and relativism." If you have two mutually exclusive ideas about truth, like relativism and absolutism, can you claim some sort of middle ground between the two or transcendent view over both?
Well, that's certainly what McLaren and others attempt to do, and they make an argument here that an understanding of paradox will allow for this. Well, you know, Lutheran theology also has an understanding of paradox. Jesus is true God, true man. Lord's Supper, we receive both bread and wine, body, blood. But it seems to me that they have invented a new kind of definition of paradox that that finally is simply the old relativism in new dress.
It sounds to me like the Hegelian dialectic, a rejection of both the thesis and the antithesis, only
and
to then, emerge claiming to have found a synthesis.
Exactly. It's a good point, and they see the synthesis as emerging Christianity, which they then want to distinguish between, to use the old terms, liberalism and conservatism, or fundamentalism and modernism. That the emerging church is a breakthrough in their thinking. That it moves beyond those standoffs of the past few generations and allows Christians then to genuinely emerge in our culture in a way that is unbounded by prior definition.
But even in Hegel's way of looking at the world, the thesis that emerged, or the synthesis that emerged from the dialectic, eventually became the new thesis, to which there was an antithesis and another synthesis. It seems as though emergence has now basically made itself captive to reacting to two extremes forever and ever and ever, if it is to always be emerging.
Yes, and I would think that McLaren would affirm that. I think he would say, yes, that's right, that Christianity is always in the process of reinventing itself or reforming itself or reconstituting itself in particular cultural particular cultural context.
So according to the emerging church movement, and Brian McLaren in particular, does anything survive the clash of the two extremes in the emergence of the new church? Does anything of historic Christianity, can anything of historic Christianity ultimately survive this reactionary movement called the emerging church?
He would somehow argue that there is a narrative or a story that is given in the scripture, particularly the history or the story of Israel and then of Jesus, that will in one way or another always be baseline or central, but that the story is forever being set in a new context. It's developing, it's opening in unexpected, even surprising ways, and as it unfolds, it finds it can find truth also in other religions.
Okay. So let's latch on to some of the things that the emergent church movement has claimed for itself, and that it is truly a missional movement. What is the mission of the church according to the emerging church?
Well, I think the mission of the church according to most emerging thinkers, and here I would reference not only Brian McLaren, but people like Leonard Sweet, who is quickly becoming a key theological voice in the emerging conversation, as they like to call it, that mission is no longer defined as a Christian pastor or missionary or lay person carrying the gospel to an unbeliever and speaking the gospel so that the unbeliever is brought to confess faith, to add his amen to the proclamation. But the mission is rather an inclusive conversation. It is engaging the person being missionized in such a way as the recipient of the message is led to uncover the truth for himself, and even in terms of other religious communities, to find elements that are good, true, and beautiful in those faith traditions, and then see Christianity as additive to that, rather than something that stands in contrast to all the religious systems of the world.
I'm reading from an article by Leonard Sweet on what he thinks the future of theological education for church leaders, or if he'd even use that term, is. And he talks about a web-based interaction of ongoing coaching, an open source system, trusts faculty, mentors to guide learners to other faculty whose core curriculum best suits that student's particular needs. In the 21st century, who you studied with will be a more important question than where you studied, or I presume what you studied. If this is now seminary education based upon the felt needs of the seminary learner, what do we end up with after such theological education, if we can even call it that?
Well, I think you end up with a spiritual guide, a guru or a mentor, but not a ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not one who brings a specific message with a charismatic content, namely Jesus' death and resurrection for sinners, but the pastor becomes... If you can call him a pastor, simply a guide to the spiritual life. And here I think, we see that there's a great difference between what our culture refers to as spirituality and what Christians confess to be saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we will not understand the danger of the emerging church movement unless we see it, I think, in that eclectic context, Todd, that it does present a gospel that is quite different from the gospel that we confess in the creeds, the gospel that is given us in the Scripture. It is a spirituality of self. It focuses on the spiritual experiences of the participant, hence the language of participation and community are quite prominent in the vocabulary of the emerging church. It represents a vision of Christianity that is not bounded by doctrinal definitions, but is rather open and absorbing of all kinds of different influences that are there, not only in the culture, but in various religious expressions as well. And so you see, in emerging Christianity, for example, you might go to a emerging service that combines Christian symbols, icons, incense, crucifix, with practices of meditation derived from Buddhism, or spiritual practices that have been taken over from Hinduism or any number of religious expressions and kind of molded together in a postmodern mosaic.
With only about 30 seconds, John, does the faith once for all delivered to the saints, this church built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, does it have a home in the emerging movement? 30 seconds.
Short answer would be no. Certainly we can affirm some of the things that the emerging church is reacting against. The arid rationalism, for example, of the Enlightenment, the commercialization of Christianity in the latter part of the last century. But is it a return to New Testament Christianity? Is it a return to the Christianity of the Reformation? It is certainly not, and we need to be sharp enough to, I think, identify that difference and to articulate the alternative, which is the message of the cross, the message of God in Jesus Christ who justifies the ungodly. And I wish we had more time for a discussion about the place of the doctrine of justification in the emerging church. It's sadly lacking, and where that doctrine is lacking, Christ is lacking, Christianity is no longer there.
Pastor John Pless is Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in the Concordia Theological Quarterly titled Contemporary Spirituality and the Emerging Church. You will find several resources on the emerging church movement on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. John, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, always great to be with you, and I look forward to future conversations about the emerging church and other topics.
Thank you. Dr. James Bachman will join us here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the real life of a Christian congregation, not just the life you see on the big billboard out on the highway, making the Christian life and the Christian congregation look like some sort of a country club. What does the emerging church do to the rock that is the foundation of the church? Turns it into a sponge. We'll be right back.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.